Welcome back, Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Welcome to everybody listening all across the United States and all across the world. Our guest tonight, Jason Quitt. And I've got to say, Jason, before we get started here, everybody wants to talk to you. We've got everything jammed up here. You ready to start taking some phone calls?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Jason, getting over a cold, traveling internationally, might have had the real illness, taken down for 6 weeks, got the call today from the majors, and I said, I need you to step up tonight, man. You're the only man for the job. And you said, absolutely. So thank you, Jason, for stepping up tonight. And last night also, before we get to the calls, I got a lot of email today and notes and things from different truck drivers from around the country from our show last night. And I want to say to everybody that did write me, all of you out there that are making sure that this country is logistically supported, driving those trucks around the country, round the clock, and you can hear my voice right now, I'm just saying thank you, okay? I did get all of the email, and it was very touching. Thank you for all of that. With that, let's go to the phones. Let's see. I want to go to Canada first. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Let's go to Bruce in Saskatchewan. Bruce, you're up first tonight on Coast. How are you?
Good. Thank you for taking my call, Jimmy.
Absolutely, Bruce. What do you have for your fellow Canadian in the Great White North, Jason Quitt?
Well, I have to say, has this ever united our country and has brought East and West together? And it's just weirdness. You know, it's absolute weirdness. I live in Western Canada. Our population density is very low. But for the province, there's only 36 out of 1.1 million that are confirmed. My question is, and this is to Jason as a fellow Canadian, how do we keep strong? Like, our seniors right now, we feel like dead men walking. Like, it's been dragging on. I was a caller 6 weeks ago on Coast to Coast and talked to Richard, one of the first earlier callers in regards to the coronavirus on the Friday open line. And, you know, people are just waiting. Like, there's not a panic. It's just kind of like they don't even want to go outside. Like, I mean, yes, you got to keep social distancing and everything else, but people are holding back, and it's draining.
Yeah, if I was, Jason, before you get to Bruce's question, if I'm in that age group, right, above 65, the fear that I would have right now, you're already dealing with all the other things in life, right? But to have that hanging over your head, I just can't imagine what, our fathers and mothers out there that raised us so strong are having to worry about these days. Bruce, you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, it's sad. Yeah. You know, it's so sad.
So, Jason, what about uniting East and West, as Bruce says, that it's never happened this way before in Canada?
I feel it. I feel it that we're united in this. And, you know, we are scared. You know, it is something that, you know, like I said, I spoke to my doctor friends in Italy, and they're saying that it's going to go through about 60% of the population is their estimate. Which in my mind seems pretty accurate when it comes to, the spread of a virus or a cold. And many people that are susceptible, especially people that are 65 and older, that are already in the hospital dealing with respiratory, heart, breathing issues, or cancer, or weakened immune system, this could be very dangerous to them. And actually, I was reading posts today online. There have been people recovering in Italy. And I think one woman today recovered, and she was in her 90s.
Right, I saw that.
In the hospital. So they are recovering. And I would just say people that the numbers that I have heard from the doctors I've spoken to is the people that are dying are people that are already in the hospital, already basically on their deathbed, and this just seals the deal.
Well, and the other part, and Bruce, thank you for the phone call, and be safe up there, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. This is the other thing Jason, you're up in Canada. We're down here. And just maybe, we've always been cool with each other. I'm talking about Canada and the United States, even though we did take Wayne Gretzky from you, and it's something that we will deal with for decades to come. But putting that aside, this is an opportunity to just forget about everything else, and let's just worry about the now. I'm really digging it. I'm really surprised that all of the headlines that we've been used to for tens of 20, 30 years, all that negativity seems to have disappeared.
It has, but, you know, there is still elements on social media that you see of people reporting things that are completely false, like martial law and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really driving this panic and this fear into people to consume and stockpile and protect their families.
Yeah, and well, you know, everybody loves a good conspiracy, including me and including you. We've done enough conspiracy shows together, Jason. And the whole martial law thing, I don't believe that if there's ill will there. I think some people consider it sport. And to start the debate, that I think it's more of that than it is like based on any type of real fact or trying to cause panic. With that, let's stay on the phones. We've got so many calls here. Let's go to Steve in Willows, California. Steve, you're up next on Coast.
Thank you, Jimmy. For Jason, back in 1948 in the polio epidemic, Dr. Richard Klenner, MD, treated 48 people that had the virus, had polio, cured every single one of them with intravenous vitamin C. Massive, basically considered massive quantities, 5 to 10,000 milligrams in a drip every two hours, up to 125,000 milligrams over 24-hour period. It's talked about in the Curing the Incurable, is the book by Dr. Michael Levy, MD, published in 2007. And it's very, very, he went on to treat hepatitis, encephalitis with intravenous vitamin C. And I assume the reason they forgot about it is no money in it.
Yeah, Stephen, that's a great point. And Jason just brought up vitamin C. I think I do 10,000 units a day. I think that's what I'm not talking about milligrams. I'm talking about units. And okay,
I take 10,000 milligrams every day.
Well, that's the strength. That's the strength of it. I do 10,000 units, which is a jumbo dropper. Jason, what are you doing with vitamin C?
Well, I know that vitamin C sometimes is hard to digest and get the full amount. So what I do is I have three types of vitamin C, and I just take them together, you know, even it out. One of the things that I take the most of is something called Camu, which is a fruit from, I believe it's South America. And it's one of the highest fruits containing vitamin C. So having just a teaspoon of that is like getting 1,000 times your dose.
Have you heard about the intravenous vitamin C reports that have been coming out of Asia? And how effective it has been.
I haven't heard exactly that, but I am familiar with intravenous vitamin C used for many applications.
Right.
And it's been used successfully in many things. And it was about 6 years ago, I believe. I was sick with something. Nobody could figure out what was wrong with me. I had every test done. No one could figure it out. I was basically dying, and I didn't know why. And I went to a clinic, and not only did I get intravenous vitamin C, but what they did is I had pure ozone pumped into my body. So I had intravenous ozone into the blood. And I got a test done of my blood a couple weeks after those treatments. And the doctors said that they're very confused with me because I have the cleanest blood they've ever seen.
Well, it was because you just time traveled to 2300. Hey, Stephen, thank you for the phone call, my friend, and be safe up there. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Jimmy.
Absolutely. That's another great phone call. Let's go to the first-time caller line. Let's go to William in Flushing, New York, way out east. William, you're up next on Coast. William? I hate to do it, but I just did. Let's go to Wild Card, Ray in Columbia, South Carolina. Ray, you're up next on Coast.
Hey, years ago, well, back in the 90s, I was a cab driver for 8 years, and I had a lung infection that the doctor couldn't get rid of for that 8 years. And on top of that, in the wintertime, I'd get one or two colds and one or two flus some years. And I started taking a natural product. It was basically a broad-spectrum mineral product. And then on top of that, getting vitamin C, vitamin D, spending a half hour in the sun. In the lower part of the country right now, yeah, I've been doing that for over a week, and I'm getting brown and tan. And
getting your vitamin D.
The vitamin D
right.
Regulates the immune system. It acts almost like a hormone, and your skin needs a lot of it to help protect you from pathogens coming in through the skin. But nobody seems to be, on the official level, telling people to go outdoors at, around lunchtime, between 10 and 2 in the summer. I don't know what it would be in the winter.
Right.
I'd try to do it right at noon.
Well, you know what they say? Ray, the reports are, and I've heard this forever, and I take vitamin D3 liquid form, and this is the deal. The reports are this. The reason why we get sick during the winter and it's flu season is because we're not getting our vitamin D. During the summer, we go out and get our vitamin D, and we naturally fight off everything that attacks us while we are indoors and out of the sun during the winter seasons. It just makes perfect sense. So the answer is vitamin D3. Ray, thank you for the phone call, man.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. I am a big vitamin guy. And through all of this, the coronavirus, Jason, and, eventually COVID-19, that's one thing. And we should be concerned about it. I absolutely understand that. It's your immune system. If you're doing the right thing, at least you have some type of defense. It's not going to help you with the economy that we're going to have to deal with over the next year, unfortunately. And that's actually the real problem on the table. How are we going to emotionally get through these very trying times? And we have to guide our families and our children through this, too, as leaders. How do we do that?
Well, many of the governments, even the U.S. and Canada, they're already passing special laws so that people that can't pay their mortgage or can't pay their rent, they're not going to be kicked out on the street during this time. So the governments are actually stepping in and they're providing people with what they need through these challenging times, which I find very beautiful that's actually happening. But we are going to face an economic challenge. And people that are struggling right now, they may struggle more because they can't access things like they used to or get as many jobs as they used to. So things will change, but I really have faith in humanity that people will reach out and help people, and that we will definitely get through this. And just think of, the caller earlier from Saskatchewan. Most people in Canada, we're just staying home. Like, we're self-quarantining. We're not going out. And if we do this, there is a very strong possibility that this will just pass through. And I've seen a lot of charts of them, showing it going months ahead in the future. But just by doing what we're doing and sticking together and helping each other out, we could help mitigate the effects of this virus And we're actually kind of training ourselves for future viruses as well, of what we have to do and the effects that it could have in our economy.
What's it like right now in Toronto? The cultural center of Toronto is Yonge Street, which is an amazing, vibrant, it's like Times Square in New York, right? What's that like right now? Is it as deserted as the other pop culture places around the United States that are virtually shut down?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because we have really bad traffic here in Toronto. It's just as bad as LA. I feel it's just as bad as LA. And, you know, we have the 401, which is always crowded, DVP and all these places, Yonge Street. And I was listening to the radio the other day, and they were just kind of laughing. There's like, yeah, there's no problems on the 401, and there's no problems here, and everybody's going smoothly. Because there is a huge portion of the population that is staying at home. And you could see it in the streets.
So Yonge Street, and also you have the mall that goes underground. Is all of that just shut down?
Just necessities are open.
Right.
So even banks have limited hours. Even Costco has limited hours. And people are, you know, when I started to stock up on food, I was actually surprised, because you see on the media, it's everybody going to these stores. For me, there wasn't. Costco was dead. There was nobody there. I was walking through an empty Costco, and they had lots of supplies.
Wow, that's a worth the drive for me, because I'm still trying to buy eggs, Jason. Quit. Still haven't found eggs. It's been a 10-day search here for me in the Valley. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm yours, Jimmy Church. Our guest tonight, Jason Quitt. Coming up, James Redfield. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of your phone calls. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. I want you to check out this video. It is over at coasttocoastam.com. I have never seen a video like what was just posted over on our website, because a woman walking through a forest in Costa Rica stumbled upon this bizarre, I don't even know how to explain it, this constructed bug that looks like, I don't even know how to explain it, like a skeleton, a green skeleton with legs. The cell phone video of this amazing bug is right now at Coast to Coast AM. You've got to check it out. When I say I've never seen anything like this, to me, it's right out of the special effects department of George Lucas. And trust me, you're going to be posting on Twitter in just a few minutes about what you just saw over on the Coast website. Go check it out. Our guest tonight is Jason Quitt. We are taking your phone calls. So I'm going to get out and get right back so we can finish up this segment with Jason. More of your phone calls are next. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Coast to Coast AM. Our guest tonight, Jason Quitt. Jason is a time traveler, and he's also up in Toronto, and he, how do I say this, with his interaction with teachers and shamans and traditional healers around the world, he also helps us with our spiritual guidance and meditation and calming effects. And right now, this planet is definitely in the brotherhood and sisterhood mode of helping each other. And Jason, you've been a big part of that, and I want to thank you before we get back to these calls. And with that, time traveler Jason, let's go to Huck in West Virginia. Huck, welcome to Coast. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Jimmy. And your guest, I just blew his name out. I can't think of it right now.
That's what happens on live radio, Huck. It's yeah. Jason Quitt.
Jason, August 1st, I was almost dead from a MRSA attack, and I got to the VA hospital in Madison. Within an hour, I was delirious. And as I'm talking with a doctor explaining everything, I close my eyes and I'm looking out over a medieval village. And then I jerk myself aware and I'm sitting there back talking with a doctor. And I'm just totally exhausted. And so I close my eyes again, and I'm closer to this medieval village, and I can start to see buildings and people and whatnot. I open my eyes again, jerk myself awake, and I'm sitting there talking with a doctor. Third time again, I'm getting up close to these people. And the guy looks at me. He was wearing a monk's habit, like an old brown sock cloth monk's habit with the hood. And I can see him looking at me. He doesn't say anything, but his eyes look at me, and it's like, I know everybody in this village. Who in the hell are you? And I'm just curious if you've ever interacted with somebody in your travels.
Jason?
It's a very interesting experience, and I've heard a lot of stories of people that are, let's say, close to death or have a sickness that have these type of experiences of time slips or other selves or going into parallel worlds. And what you're describing reminds me, like, you just almost opened your consciousness up to another self in another time, be it a past life, future life, or a current life happening on another dimension. And for you and for that experience, it's 100% real to you. And I really believe that we do cross time and space. Our consciousness is not bound by our bodies, and that at times of great trauma or sickness or even getting close to death, we have these slips where we start to kind of blur the lines between this world and other worlds. And in my experience, it's 100% real. So I can't tell you if what you experienced was going back in time to a past life, or if time doesn't even exist, if you just popped your consciousness back to a place where you were familiar with somehow, there was a resonance in time and space, and those two places connected at that time. I 100% believe you.
Yeah, and what about interacting, Jason? Have you had conversations or made contact in your time travels?
Yes, there's a couple times where I'll start to speak to somebody, and they'll kind of look at you like you're crazy. So either I'm not speaking the right language, or it's not coming out the way I think it's coming out. But a lot of times I get very confused people.
Very interesting. Huck, thank you for the phone call, and stay safe out there, my friend.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Taking my call.
Yeah, thank you. I've often wondered about that. Are they surprised by your presence?
I think so. Sometimes you just are there. Well, let me just talk about the astral world for a second, because I've popped out of my body before, and you go into this place called the astral world, or the place in between.
Right.
And I've seen entities there that some people would describe as extraterrestrial, and they're kind of shocked or confused, like, how am I there? So there's kind of this strange moment where you understand that they don't understand why you're there. When I was talking to an individual in one of these travels, they kind of just looked at me strange, and they never answered me back, because I don't know why. Maybe I wasn't supposed to be there, or there's a language barrier. I'm not sure.
Very interesting. Let's go to a wild card. Let's go to Michael in Greensboro, North Carolina. Michael, you're up next on Coast.
Oh, hey. What's up, Jason and Jimmy? Good talk to you. I hope you feel better, Mr. Quitt. Anyway, I wanted to ask you, Mr. Quitt, do you time travel to the past or only to the future, please? Because the way things are looking right now, I wouldn't mind going back like to the 70s or 80s without dealing with this whole coronavirus thing. Who needs it? So.
Well, I'll just say most of these travels to the future are very strange, because I don't know where I am, what time period it is. And I just have to see what's going on. And when I first started doing this, the things that they were showing me were quite bad. It was like end of the world stuff. And I don't know if that was to shock me or to prepare me. I don't know. I don't truly believe it is our future. I believe it's just possibilities. But most of the time now, I go back to the past. And it's very personal. It's more like going back into past lives where I start to remember certain moments in a past life, certain experiences, some of the people that I'm with in that past life, because sometimes we're friends or know people in this life that we had a connection to in a past life. A lot of times in the time traveling back into past lives, it's usually around the moment of death. So I usually get to witness or be there for my other self, I would say, to be there in that time of transition. So for me, the time traveling, it's, I have no control over it whatsoever. It's almost like I'm just taken and pulled there instantaneously. And then I have to kind of figure out where I am. But mostly it's personal and goes back into past lives.
There you go, Michael. And thank you for the phone call. Be safe.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Let's go to Wildcard Joseph in Boston, Massachusetts.
Hey, Jimmy. How you doing? I haven't talked to you for a long time. I don't know whether it was you, but someone else had Dr. Gabor on. But Jason, glad to speak to you. I feel that this was set up because the White House, now I don't know who was right, Trump or not, they said they were told, Trump was told, he said he wasn't. But this is not, in my opinion, in George's opinion, good to close the country. I hope we aren't in FEMA camps. What do you think about all this new technology? They used to have a guy that the government went after him. He used to make ozone machines and stuff like that. I think this could be handled in a better way. This is not how you have a virus. I think this was biological warfare. I think this is a test. And there are some, I told Donna, and by the way, she gave a good website. You may want to give it out to me. I told Donna that I had heard about this, and the CBC, you don't know who's honest or who's good. George has, you know, guest on like John Rappaport, and he doesn't like them. So what is your take on this? Do you think this was a setup or what, Jason, to control us?
Sure. Jason?
Well, here's the thing. We live in a world where bioweapons are reality. We research them. We engineer them. We have laboratories all over the world that do this. We don't know military applications of it. So basically, we're kept in the dark, but we know that the technology exists for this to occur. And, you know, I don't want to go into fear with this, but we do live in a world where that is a possibility that this can be released out into the public. And things like you talked about, like ozone, ultraviolet light, which creates ozone, these things will kill the virus. In fact, to purify the hospitals, they have the special robots with the UVB lights, very powerful UVB lights that will go through the hospital. And those lights will kill everything on the surface, including Ebola and everything else. And same with ozone. If you ozonated a room, a hospital room, the ozone will kill the virus in that room. So we have things that are very effective in killing the virus. They are being used right now. Nobody's really talking about it, but they are in the hospitals. I know in Canada, ozone therapy is legal because I've received ozone therapy many times. I have also received UVB therapy as well. And that will enhance vitamin D, enhance the immune system. They even have machines where you could take your blood and go through UV machines to purify any viruses or bacteria in the blood. And I'm pretty sure that's legal here in Canada. I don't know if it's legal in the States, but we have these tools that are virtually free. I mean, UV light, it's basically free. Ozone is just high frequency modulation. You could create ozone with high frequency. So these things are virtually free, and we have access to them.
Thank you for the phone call, Joseph. Great question. And before we continue, I've got time for one more phone call. Jason, if it's a test, if it's a bioweapon, why do it and lose, crush the world's economy, totally crash it out, and throw away 10, 15, 20, 25 trillion dollars virtually overnight. Why do that? What's the reason for it?
In my mind, it doesn't make sense. But if I was to give a reason, maybe this is a test to see how the population can get through something like this.
How the economy
can survive this.
Right. For a $20 trillion bill, that's crazy to me. It just doesn't make any sense. Let's go back up to Canada. Dave in Ottawa, you're up next on Coast. Welcome.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'll throw out an assumption to default on payment. Where I'm living, there's a company developing a device that can, in 30 minutes, detect if you have the virus. It's called the Spartan Cube.
Yes.
Here in Ottawa, Canada. They make about 3,800 of them a week. So most of the applications are going to go for military first, and then they'll get out. But why is it that we're not allowed to question? Why is it we're not allowed to make assumptions? And we're told that, you know, if we all pull together. Now, I want to make one assumption. We were told that we were all supposed to go into house quarantine. The city I live in, there's about 50, 56 people that are house quarantine with confirmed virus. If we were to take those people and actually isolate them into a military hospital or a military camp, sort of like what they're doing down in LA or New York City, would that have slowed the disease much quicker and isolated it much faster? We'll never know because we're not allowed to question that. We're not allowed to throw that out there and say, why is it that we couldn't have took the people off of the airplane in Vancouver that were coming from mainland China and quarantine them instantly instead of allowing them to go into a population and running it up to 400? And why is it that we're in such hysteria for 1,000 people in a country that has tens of millions of people? New York City has got running more people with the virus right now than all of Canada, but we're going to spend $82 billion, and this is going to be hereditary debt. Don't kid yourself. This is going to come from the social fiber of this country.
Sure, sure. Let me jump in, though, if I can, Dave. We're out of time. Did you have a question for Jason?
Yeah, I want to know, is there any institution in the world that will actually stand up and give the basic truth facts of what's going on here?
Well, Coast to Coast will. My other show, Fade to Black, will for sure.
Absolutely. At least give me the opportunity to talk anyway.
Yeah, absolutely, Michael. And thank you for the phone call. Jason, where do you go? If you were going to give advice to Michael, where do you go for your facts?
Well, I kind of go everywhere. I jump everywhere. I don't have a closed mind to different information. And I hear what you're saying. And the thing that I'm starting to hear recently is that this virus may have been out there since November of this year. It may have been spreading since November, which means it could have already been here in Canada. It could have already been here in the U.S. back in November. But we didn't know. We didn't have the tests for it. We weren't looking for it. So the reason why, the self-quarantine or not taking everybody off airplanes and putting them into military bases is because I personally believe that it's already out there spreading through a population that's been here since November. And that's just kind of my own personal feeling. And this is why with the self-quarantine and going into a space where you can distance yourself, I think that's why they're doing this.
Now, Jason, before we depart, where can everybody not only best get a hold of you, but go and find your books like Forbidden Knowledge and The Egyptian Postures of Power?
Right now, they can find it on Amazon just by typing in my name, Jason Quitt. And you can also go to thecrystalsun.com, thecrystalsun.com. And I've been gone, so I took the store down, but I will put the store back up immediately tomorrow.
And the other part you just mentioned the canceling of different events, and certainly I'm going through that, and so many speakers and researchers in our community are having to deal with that. Beyond that, where are you going to be speaking, and are you going to do any live stuff on the internet?
I don't know. I'm hoping that the next place I'm at is Contact in the Desert, last weekend of May, first weekend of June. And I hope to be there in Palm Springs with you. That's the next place.
Yeah, and we, as of now, it hasn't been canceled. We've had so many events canceled on us. Dr. Greer's movie premiere was just canceled here in Los Angeles. We have the Awakening Conference over in the UK that we were going over to do in Manchester, and that has been canceled. And it's just the right thing to do for so many of these events, because you don't want to invite people out and then have something else happen to the attendees. So I'm bummed about it, but we're all in this together. Jason, thank you so much. Give my best to Monica and be safe up there in Toronto.
Thank you very much for having me, Jimmy.
We'll be right back. This is Coast to Coast AM. Coming up next, author James Redfield. Stay with us.